Well, good afternoon. Looks like we're all connected, so that is a good sign right there, and a little light up here for me as well too. So that's good. Some were inquiring about the head count this year. On the first holy day, we had 348. This morning's head count was 354. We're down a few numbers from last year. I think our high day last year was, I think, around 380. Is that correct, Frank? 387 last year. So we're down a few. There's been a lot of illness, a lot of problems. So let's pray that this next year we'll top 400 people. And I think we can easily do that as well. Well, here we are. The Feast of Tabernacles over, and now we're into the eighth day. The final step in God's master plan of salvation, and how wonderful that is that he gives us these days and commands us to keep them so that we can be reminded constantly and have this burnt into our memories and to be living God's way of life all through the year. We thank God for calling us out to know these days, all of his steps of salvation here. The title of today's sermon is The Small and the Great. The Small and the Great. The Small and the Great is about people, of course. There are billions of people and the status between those that are small and the so-called great on the face of the earth here, those who think that they are great. Little do they know they're going to have to learn to be humble. But the small and the great is what we're going to be talking about today. It's about all these billions of people who has died with no real knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. They have no real knowledge or understanding. They haven't been called. And all of those who may have heard some bits and pieces about God's truth, but really didn't understand. All those people that were in families, that were attending services just along for the ride, so to speak. Again, all those who really did not have a true understanding of God's way of life will get their time, their opportunity to really learn to believe what Jesus Christ did for all humanity. How wonderful that is. If you will, let's turn over to the book of Job. Book of Job, let's start there in chapter 14, and let's read verses 14 and 15. You know, Job was posing the question here in verse 14. He says, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. He is talking with God there. He will answer God. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps. But do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. Job understood who God was, who God is, and knew that God had mercy on him. How wonderful that is. Job knew that he was created by God. He was sure that this physical life was not all there is. At his last breath, he knew that this physical life was not all there is. God created us special humans. We have a spirit in us that is totally different from animals. A lot of people believe in evolution these days, but it didn't happen that way. God created each and everything individually. Job had no doubt that he would be resurrected at the time of God's choosing, and he died, and that truth is sealed in his spirit right now. He is not conscious, of course. He is in the deep sleep. That his spirit went right back to God the very second that he died from whence it came. Of course, God knew each and every one of us before he formed us in the womb. And again, he is unconscious in the deep sleep. He's waiting for the resurrection, knowing that, you know, this is a very comforting thing, that when we conduct a funeral, we read these words and talk over these words. It is very comforting to the families of those who have lost a mate or loved ones to know that there is more to this life than just this physical life that we are living. How wonderful that is, that God has this wonderful plan of harvesting humans to be in his family, to live with him forever. Now, in the book of Daniel, you won't have to turn there, but in Daniel 12, verse 2, it tells us of a time yet in the future when many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Back in the days of Daniel, of course, there was the way to eternal life was not fully understood. Job had the hope. Daniel had the hope. They trusted and believed in God. And it remained then for when Christ came to fully reveal the truth, and Christ did reveal it. He came to this earth, was born through a woman, lived in the physical life as we are. He came to bring the good news of God's coming kingdom, and he came to be the sacrifice, to pay the price for our sins, and to take on our infirmities. When someone comes to us and want to be anointed for an illness or something that is wrong with them, we remind them that from the stripes that Jesus took, and he took on our infirmities, and with God the Father there, you know, in the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. We can go before God the Father with Jesus Christ at his side, and we can ask for healing of our physical bodies. How marvelous that is as well, too. Christ affirmed it when he said, "I am the resurrection, I am the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Christ confirmed it. And that was in John 11, 25. You want to make that a note there. It is through Christ that we can experience our own resurrection from the dead. We can experience our own resurrection from the dead. Can you imagine that? Coming up out of the grave, hearing that trumpet blast, and coming up out of the grave and looking around with wonderment, you know, because the last thought that you would have is, you know, could have been, you know, hundreds of years ago. Who knows? But can you imagine that, coming up out of the grave and being changed? What a wonderful experience that is, especially for those of us that are hoping to be in the first resurrection, to be changed to a spirit being. And if we're still alive at that time, at the return of Jesus Christ, can you imagine that? Just being there and watching your physical body just drop to the ground, and you rise above it in your spirit body. Again, how marvelous that is. We have a lot to look forward to. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." The truth of the resurrection is throughout the Bible. God made it clear for us. When we attend funerals again, you know, we often read 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and that's where Paul is encouraging believers to comfort one another with these words. And Jesus said that all shall be made alive. That is one of the hardest things, part of our job in the ministry, is to try to give comfort to a husband or a wife or a family that has lost a loved one. That it hurts so deeply, but we can give them comfort knowing that this isn't the last time that you're going to see them. It's not all over for them. Now let's get into the first resurrection a little bit here. This is the resurrection of those who are called now, the ones Paul referred to as the first fruits, which is further described in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Let's take a look at how John describes the resurrection of the first fruits in Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. Let's turn back there. Very popular scripture at this time, of course, and we do repeat scriptures, which is good. That's fine, too. We need all the repeats that we can get to put into our minds here. But in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hands. You know, it didn't appear in their brain, in their memory, and it didn't appear in the jobs that they were doing on their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And that's what we're talking about today, this last great day. This is the first resurrection. And each step that God has in his master plan is so wonderfully planned out. And there are people that, of course, of the world that think they're scholars, that just their minds have not been opened. They do not understand. They still hear the static that Dr. Dunkel was talking about this morning here. They still hear the static. They really don't understand what is really happening or what is going to happen in the Bible. They came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And that is what our hope is, that we will be teaching all of the people that are left here on the face of the earth. They will still be having children. And we will be, for 1,000 years, teaching them God's way of life. And all during that period, of course, Satan will be locked up, him and his demons, and won't be able to influence. And that will give a good foundation for all the people that will be needed to train in the great white throne judgment. Also was mentioned by Dr. Dunkel about that as well, too. So the rest of the dead will not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Now let's notice that some are resurrected at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign and at the first resurrection. In reading, the use of the term first shows that there evidently is a second resurrection. If there is a first, there's bound to be a second resurrection, which is what this day pictures. The same verse, in verse 5, it explains that the rest of the dead did not come alive until the 1,000 years were ended. There is another resurrection after the first. And in this resurrection, others will have their opportunity to receive salvation. They will be called to understand God's truth and his plan during a period sometimes referred to us as the Great White Throne Judgment. And just who are those that we are referring to as the rest of the dead and the others? Well, this refers to the unbelievers from all of the ages, all the way down from Adam and Eve until this very day. All of the unbelievers that will be raised at the end there, at the end of the millennium, to stand before judgment on the great white throne. You know, we can't really blame these people for not understanding. They haven't been called yet. They haven't been called to know God's truth. And we are the ones that have been called. This is our opportunity now. We are being judged right now. And so there is two different groups of people here, those who are called and those who haven't been called. Let's make it clear, the first resurrection happens at Christ's second coming. That's the first resurrection, of course. That's the one that we are hoping to be in. We know that Christ is now at the right hand of God, and we are speaking of the time when God the Father will turn to Jesus. Only God the Father, of course, knows at the time that he will send Jesus back to this earth. Not even the angels, not even Jesus knows. But at God the Father's choosing, he will turn to Jesus and he will say, now it is time to go back. And he will come back with a sword. He will come back with a sword to set up God's government, his Jesus' coming kingdom. Jesus will bring the kingdom of God, his government, to this earth. At that time, there will be a great time that we pray that the kingdom of God will come soon. And that's what we are to pray for. We are to pray daily that God's kingdom will come soon to this earth. With all of the hatred and all the horrible things that are going on between various races of people, people around the world, people that are even brothers or sisters, there is a lot of hatred that is going on in the world that needs to be changed, needs to be wiped out completely. We pray for the day when righteousness will be all that we will hear and all that we will see. And let's remember that the first resurrection is to eternal life. We are having our calling now, and again, we are being judged right now. And the big difference between the first resurrection and the second is that in the second resurrection, God raises those people again to a physical resurrection, just like we heard earlier. But to a physical resurrection and blood existence is how these people will be resurrected, to live that physical life and to be taught God's way of life and to be able to choose if they want to continue on that way. You know, it's really kind of hard to believe that, you know, through all of this process that any would choose differently. But I believe that there will be some that will just be incorrigible. I don't know the reasons why, but that can definitely happen. Let's take another look at the setting. Let's read Revelation 20 again, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit, and that great chain in his hand, verse 2, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old. He is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Why? So that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a while. And why should he be released for a little while? Well, the answer is to test those who got their opportunity in the second physical resurrection. They have to be tested. All of us. Our calling was not completely guaranteed. It depended on our choosing. We are taught God's way of life, and it's our choosing to live that way of life. If not, we could be aborted. We could definitely be aborted. So these people will be tested and tried just like us. We are tested and tried with various trials because God wants to know if he can trust us enough to be in his coming kingdom. And we need to be keeping that in mind as we live through our lives each day that we go through. And now let's drop down to Revelation 20, verse 11 through 13. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a most... Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. Hold on. Wrong one. I got the wrong one going here. 11 through 13. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Small and great. There we go. The small and the great. The small and the great was different classes of people that thought they were in different class here on earth. Those who were supposedly great, of course, thought that they knew more than others. That's not always the case. It just depends on a social, economical background, the small and the great. And there's also more to this, which I will get at here. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that was written in the books. And then the sea gave up the dead and those that were in it. And death and Hades were delivered up, and the dead were in them, and they were judged, each one according to their works of how they lived, how they believed, how they carried on their entire life. Well, so what are these books? You know, the books of the Bible, God's commandments, His statutes, that are in the Bible, and then the Book of Life. What is that all about? The Book of Life has the names of those that will be resurrected to eternal life. That's where you and I want our names written for sure. We want our names written in the Book of Life, because we want to live eternally in the family of God, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the dead who stand before their Creator and are all those who died never knowing the true God. Like Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones coming back to life, these people emerge from the graves and begin to know God. Let's turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And let's read verses 1 through 6. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. He says, yes, Lord, you know. And he believed it, of course, and it is true. And then on to verse 11, and it says, then he, God, said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And then in verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken and performed it, the Lord says. So all these people that had died, bones very, very dry, gone back to dust, so to speak, they will be resurrected to a physical life. This physical resurrection is not a second chance for salvation. This is for the people that have never had their opportunity. This is their first opportunity to really know the Creator God that created them in the first place. As they live in the second resurrection, resurrected physical life, they will be judged according to their works, just as we are called and we are being judged. They will get their full opportunity, just as we are getting ours right now. They will be taught, they will be tested, they will be tried, they will be judged. This judgment will involve a period during which they will enjoy the opportunity to hear and to understand and to grow in God's way of life. Having their names inscribed in the book of life, during this time, thousands of millions of people will gain access to eternal life. How wonderful that is. It's really, really hard for us to number and to tell how large God's family is going to be when all are judged and those will be turned into physical beings and be in God's wonderful family. This final festival of this year shows us just how deep and how far-reaching and how merciful that God's judgments are. Jesus spoke of this wonderful truth depicted by this day when he compared three cities, and I won't go through all of those, but it's Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom that Mr. Frank Dunkel spoke about earlier there. And for all the sins that they had committed, that it would be easier for them to be able to understand and know in the end there. This will be a time of universal knowledge of God from the least, which is the smallest, even the millions. This is something that weighs on our minds quite a bit. When we talk about the small and the great, the small includes the millions of tiny little babies that were murdered in abortions because life starts at conception. And the greatest, those who become rich and famous, so to speak, and to the prophets of old. But just imagine all of the millions of tiny little babies that have been aborted will be resurrected and will be able to live during that 100-year period and will have their opportunity to be taught. It's going to take a lot of people to cuddle those little babies and to raise them up in the physical form. How wonderful that is going to be, because it is so sad when a baby is aborted, didn't even have a chance, was innocent, didn't know what was even happening to it. But they are going to be resurrected and will be able to live. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and let's read verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for you shall know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them. Again, the small and the great. Because they are going to be taught. They're going to come up in that second resurrection and will be taught God's truth and will be tried and tested. Again, how wonderful it will be for all of the billions of people that have died without having their opportunity. All will know God and will experience knowing of God's wonderful salvation. This final period of judgment completes God's plan of salvation. God will see his plan through. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God will bring many sons and daughters to glory. Oh, yes, he will. That is his plan. That's how he is working through us. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, his promise is to pour out his spirit on all flesh that has ever lived. That is what his promise is. Again, every human who has ever lived will have their opportunity to know God. They will have their opportunity to repent of their sins. They have their opportunity to be baptized and to have hands laid on them and receive God's Holy Spirit to live in them and to work with them as it is working with us. This last great day truly will be a great day, and a time of great joy and happiness to see and to teach our loved ones. I have a brother that died, and I want to be able to sit down with him and explain to him God's way of life. My mom and my dad, when I first came into the church, I wanted to tell everybody this wonderful truth that I had, and the first ones I ran to was my mom and dad, and I was actually kind of shocked. I showed them the scriptures and God's way, and that Christmas was not really the right way to go. Went through all these things with my mom and dad, and they looked at me with a solemn face, and they said, you know, you have offended us. You have brought shame to us because we have taught you what they thought God's way of life was all my life. And I hurt them deeply. But one day, when they're resurrected in that second resurrection, I want to be there to teach them. I want to help them. I want to meet all of my friends, especially here in the Cincinnati area. This is where I'm from. I was born over in Bridgetown on a farm over there, and went to high school in North Bend at Taylor High School. And I have many of my classmates from the second grade over there that I stay in contact with. In fact, Pat and I went and saw one of my friends while we were here, and they are like family to me. We made a pact together back when we were in high school that we knew we would all go in different directions in the country. But we made a pact that we would always be family, brothers and sisters, and these classmates are actually closer to me than actually what my family is. And Pat and I are the only ones out of our families that have been called to God's truth. So we have many people that we are expecting to see in that resurrection that we want to sit down with and we want to talk with. We want to teach them God's truth, God's ways. And I know each and every one of you have the same story about your families and your friends and people that you want to see in God's coming kingdom. To come to a time when there is all righteousness on the face of the earth, what a wonderful blessing that is. And what a wonderful blessing it is for us to be called to be a part of that, to be a part of God's plan to teach, to work with Jesus Christ and God the Father, and be able to usher in God's wonderful family and his coming kingdom. We have a big job ahead of us, very big job, and to take it seriously probably isn't enough. We need to live it. Our habits in this life, we have to drop. We have to start building the habits of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and of course, you know, you can start in on the fruits of the Spirit. Pat and I keep them on our refrigerator door to remind us daily of how we should be judging things in this life, in this world right now, and how we should be thinking about other things as we meet our neighbors and our people that we work with, the people that are around us that we come in contact with. How should we respond when they might give a sharp word or whatever? We are the leaders. We are to be the ones that are showing the way, shedding God's light. And this day, this last great day that we're talking about today, we're going to have a fantastic job. But just also think of the power that we're going to be having. When God changes us into a spirit being and to be teaching all of these people, we will have the power to teach. We don't have to worry about having a lack of memory. Won't have to worry about sleeping, won't have to worry about eating. We will be able to understand people before they even open their mouth and talk with us. We will be able to understand what they are going to be saying. We'll be able to see how they are doing. We'll be able to tell by the way that they are handling themselves of what is on their minds, and then we can help them to change their lives, to be living by the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. I'm really looking forward to that day. Like I said, my parents, my brother, my sisters, my neighbors, my classmates, all these people, I want to help. And I know that you want to do exactly the same thing. But God's plan of salvation is true and complete. It is true and complete. That's why he has commanded us each year that we are to go through each of the steps, learn the steps, and be able to repeat them and to live by them, to know God's plan of salvation. And he does remember the small and the great. We don't have to worry about old grandpa so-and-so or the little baby that was aborted. We don't have to worry about them at all. God is a fair, just God, and most of all, he's merciful. God is merciful. He loves all of us. He wants all of us to live forever in his family. He doesn't want any of us to miss that. His will is that we all make it into his coming kingdom. Well, this is kind of a short sermon today. There's been a lot of these words that were already spoken, so I omitted several of them. But I think you got the message that we have a big job ahead of us, and that it is up to us to maintain and grow in God's truth and his grace, to have his character now. Don't wait until later. Have it now. We're being judged right now. We're being judged right now, and to have this wonderful opportunity to be in God's kingdom and to hold offices of teaching others and bringing others to glory. That's what God wants us to do. He loves us, and he's going to make it possible for us. So until we meet again next year, everyone, please stay healthy and safe. Do your best on that. Most of all, let's all build the habits of God's character. Let's all do that in our conversation and in our way of life. Let's maintain and grow what God is giving us. Good to see y'all.